Is that electric car made in America? Thousands of your dollars could be riding on the answer. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The sweeping law on climate change, prescription drug prices, and a corporate minimum tax that's set to become law later this week includes money for people who buy electric cars, $7,500, and now a $4,000 credit for buying a used EV. But which vehicles will be eligible for subsidies may surprise you and has parts of the industry quite upset. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
The bill includes a new, more rigorous set of financial incentives and manufacturing targets designed to boost electric vehicle and battery production and market share in the U.S. But Seth Goldstein, an analyst at Morningstar, says there's a key requirement that will need to be fulfilled in order for an electric vehicle to be eligible for a $7,500 tax credit.
Everything has to be assembled in the U.S. or a country with a free trade agreement. So it incentivizes a domestic EV supply chain from the mine to the vehicle.
Final vehicle assembly won't be a problem for the big domestic producers. Most Teslas, GMs, and Fords roll off assembly lines in the U.S. But EV batteries are another matter, says Garrett Nelson at CFRA Research.
The key materials used in EV batteries, a lot of those come from China, the Congo, countries which the U.S. does not have free trade partner status.
We don't assemble most batteries here either. Nelson says under the bill, 70% of the EV models now for sale in the U.S.
become immediately ineligible for the federal tax credit. And then starting in 2024, when the additional battery sourcing requirement goes into effect, none of the EVs would be eligible.
A consortium of EV makers has warned that the new domestic content provisions jeopardize the industry's target that electric vehicles will make up 40 to 50% of new vehicle sales by 2030. Nelson says currently, EVs make up just 5% of new sales. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Disney theme parks have largely bounced back from the lockdown times, but with its profits and losses due today, we'll be watching to see results for its streaming video service. With competitor Netflix having trouble with subscribers as pandemic eased, how's Disney Plus? Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
Disney Plus is cheaper than Netflix, an increasingly important distinction in the current economy, says research director Paul Erickson at Parks Associates. But it also has a very different portfolio, where Netflix has a little bit of everything for everyone. Disney focuses on a few very popular brands: animation, Star Wars, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It does engender different styles of viewing. Like, you have some dyed-in-the-wool Marvel fans that watch titles incessantly.
Or, you know, kids who can't let it go before they've seen Frozen a zillion times. That cuts down on subscriber churn, and so does the release schedule, says Michael Pachter, an analyst at Wedbush Securities.
You know, Obi-Wan comes at a different time than The Mandalorian, which comes at a different time than Boba Fett. Every 10 weeks, there's something.
And by releasing episodes weekly instead of in one bingeable dump, Disney Plus keeps subscribers on the hook. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 0.2% range. Now to scammers who blackmail restaurants by demanding money to take down bogus, nasty reviews. Yeah, some of those, "oh, there was a toenail in my pasta fazool," aren't just cranks, they're criminal. WHRO's Paul Bebo reports from Norfolk, Virginia.
Kim Alter owns the restaurant Nightbird. One morning in July, she checked her email and found a polite extortion demand.
"We've already put one-star reviews up and we will continue to do so until you pay us. We're really sorry. We know this is illegal. Thank you."
They wanted $75 in gift cards. Alter is in San Francisco. She posted about the threat online and discovered restaurants from New York, Chicago, and Houston were also targeted. Emily Knight of the Texas Restaurant Association says restaurants there couldn't kill the sham reviews fast enough.
"It took a number of days.
Review extortion isn't new. Restaurants and hotels have dealt with it for years. But this particular grift comes at a touchy time for the hospitality industry, with inflation squeezing profits and high staff turnover. Here's Bob McNabb at Old Dominion University.
If you're a manager, you're continually hiring people to replace the people who are quitting because they could find higher-paying jobs elsewhere.
Short staffing could mean longer wait times, colder mozzarella sticks, and more bad reviews. McNabb says big chains have media budgets to tell their own stories and the muscle to get fake reviews removed. But for the little guys,
it's a David versus Goliath problem, except you're David without any stones.
So how are restaurant managers coping? Brian Williams walks through Terrapin just before Friday dinner rush in Virginia Beach. The staff sweeps and chops onions. He ticks off possible disasters. Supply chain snags, Wi-Fi crashes, missing wine. When he talks about reviews, he sounds a bit like an anxious playwright after opening night.
I try not to read them too often. I feel like you can get caught up in those things a little too much, and that kind of takes away from running the restaurant.
Williams says he focuses on the long term and tries not to obsess. When he goes home, he gardens, and he says he does not look at his phone. I'm Paul Bebo for Marketplace.
And Domino's is closing the last of what had been 33 locations in Italy. Bloomberg News reports the company has realized, could have told you, that Italians prefer local pizza. Curious, I just checked how many locations Olive Garden has in Italy. The answer is niente, zero. I did spot a spaghetteria in Venice that's referred to on TripAdvisor as the Olive Garden of Italy. I'm Dave Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.